I'm Victoria Hansen for South Carolina Public Radio.
So you guys were asking about the history of Poe's?
Yes.
A waitress serves up history at Poe's Tavern on Sullivan's Island. The island is said to have been home to the elusive 19th century writer Edgar Allan Poe. Inside, gold bug burgers sizzle on the grill. Creepy caricatures and painted portraits of the author peer from tavern walls. The Stevie Wonder song Superstition blares behind the bar. And in the restroom, recitals of Poe stories that feel as if they're coming from the walls.
I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him.
So why so much Poe? Down the street, there's Poe Avenue, Raven Drive, even an Edgar Allan Poe library.
Well, Poe is always part of the equation.
American literature professor Scott Peeples says Poe definitely has a place on Sullivan's Island. This as he opens his office door in an historic Charleston home.
He almost certainly spent time in Charleston, and he could very well have walked through what's now the College of Charleston campus.
Peeples has written two books about Poe and is featured in the new American Masters biography, Edgar Allan Poe Buried Alive. He says Poe was 18 and broke when he enlisted in the Army under the name Edgar A. Perry. He was stationed as a clerk at Fort Moultrie on Sullivan's Island.
Strangely enough, no one really knew that Poe had spent a little over a year on Sullivan's Island until about 35 years after his death.
That's because people says Poe lied about it. He speculates it did not reflect the affluent life he wanted, but something about Sullivan's Island stayed with him.
He wrote what was probably his most celebrated story during his lifetime, The Gold Bug, 15 years later, but set it on Sullivan's Island.
Today, a spit of land just before Sullivan's is called Gold Bug Island. People says Poe also references Charleston in his tale, The Oblong Box.
And for Poe, that's kind of a lot, because most of his most famous stories are not set in specific American cities.
So what about the urban Charleston legend of Annabel Lee in Poe's poem, with a refrain of a kingdom by the sea? Peeples laughs as he says there's absolutely no evidence Poe knew such a woman, let alone from Charleston.
Interestingly enough, if you tell these stories often enough, it becomes part of Charleston's literary history.
Peeples says local writers began claiming Poe during the 1920s Charleston Renaissance. More than 100 years later, Pat Conroy references him in The Lords of Discipline.
So here's how it goes. I like to think of him walking the streets of Charleston as I walked them, and it pleases me to think that the city watched him, felt the shimmer of his madness and genius in his slouching promenades along Meeting Street.
The city Poe shunned embraced him. Professor Peeples studies the places Poe once walked. He calls Sullivan's Island insightful.
I mean, there aren't too many places where Poe lived where you can stand in the same spot and see something that close to what Poe would have seen.
The island's crooked oaks and canopy of Spanish moss still seem like the perfect setting for a Poe tale. Certainly, the lure of the sea has not changed. And listen, above the crashing waves, if only those crows could squawk nevermore. For more on this story, go to southcarolinapublicradio.org. You can watch the American Masters Edgar Allan Poe biography tonight at 9 on SCE TV. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen.